Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught there in their synagogue and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the glorious words that came from his mouth. The Gospel of the Lord. Very important to remember the purpose of why we are here in this world. And there's a lot of confusion if you were to ask a lot of your companions at school why they're here. Most of them will be confused. They won't even know what to tell you. But you're here for this reason. You're here in this world to get to know God, to love God, to serve God in this life so that you can get to heaven. Not complicated. So we're here to get to know God. If we know God, then we love God. We show that we love God by serving God. And if we do that, when we die, we're going to go to heaven. Not complicated. But it's more difficult to live out than to just hear that beautiful catechetical expression. So let me give you an analogy. I'm going to tell you right now the easiest way to get to heaven. And hopefully you'll understand it. And if you can put this into practice, all of you are going to get to heaven. Let me give you a very simple analogy. Okay, one of you, almost all of you, are invited to go to New York to visit a friend that maybe you haven't seen in 5 years. One of you say, "Well, I think I'd like to walk. I'm in pretty good shape." Another says, "No. Skateboarding is quicker. You got to get a good skateboard." Another one says, "No. How about biking? Biking's better." One of those Tour de France bikes that they use in the Olympics. Better. None of us says, no, that's still going to take a long time. Why don't we drive, get a nice car? And finally, someone says, I think you're all kind of dumb. Let's go to LAX. Jump on a 747 jumbo jet, and let's just zoom. Now, I don't want to insult your intelligence, but all of you know the most rapid means of transportation obviously is going to be a jumbo jet. If you walk, it's going to take maybe 3 months, no? Ride a bike, it's probably going to take a month. Drive a car, it's going to take maybe a couple weeks. But I fly across the country at least once a year to visit my parents that live on the other part of the country. From here to Boston, but six hours. So I prefer to take the jet rather than the walk. So let me tell you the easiest way for you to get to heaven now. You listening? It's the easiest way. You got to understand this. This is the purpose of confirmation. If you can try to go to Mass, okay, and really love Mass, participate in Mass, and receive communion in Mass well, that's a jumbo jet to get to heaven. You heard it. So if you don't take Mass seriously, next year you should not make your confirmation. Okay? You've got to be honest. And your teachers, hopefully your teachers are hearing it. I mean, I got the boys here, they're in my class, and obviously we're going to be talking about that. But if Mass is not important for you, by this time next year, you should maybe tell your mom and dad, your catechist, I'm really not ready to be confirmed. Okay, that will be the easiest way for you to get to heaven. The greatest action you can do in your life is to go to Mass and to receive Holy Communion. Do you hear that? Greatest action. Greatest action you can do in your life is to go to Mass and to receive communion worthily. But you got to work on it. It could be, I don't know, I haven't talked with all of you individually, it could be that you're forced to come to confirmation. It could be. At least you're obeying your parents. There's something good in that. Could be that on Sunday you're forced to go to Mass. There's some good in that. But you're going to arrive at a point, you're 18 years old. Most of you are 13, 14, maybe some of you are 15. When you're 18 and as an American, you're free. You know that? You can leave your house. Your parents can't keep you at home if you want to leave at 18. So I really believe this year and next year could be the most important years in your life. They'll make you or break you. I think you should be thankful that you have one of the catechists as a priest, yours truly. The fact you have a priest as a catechist, it's a blessing. There's other places you're not going to have a Mass once a month. This is the most important week of catechism every month. This isn't a throwaway. This is the essence. This is the most important part of catechism, is what we're doing right now. Now my question is this: all of you really have faith or not? I don't know. I'd like to sit down and talk with you individually to see what is your level of faith. Do you believe? Because some of you are going to make your, I think you make your first communion sometime this year. Praise the Lord, that's really good. How many of you have already made your first communion here? I think that's 85% of you. Okay, now, you raise your hand. Can any of you tell me what Holy Communion is? Catechist, not one hand has gone up. Okay, we got at least one. So one out of 200 knows, can answer that question. None of the girls know what Holy Communion is? No hay una muchacha aquí que sabe lo que es la Santa Comunión, tal vez mejor hablar en español porque no entiende inglés, ¿no? Maybe you don't understand my New York English, huh? So none of them know what Holy Communion is. That's why I'm giving this homily, Agnella. Because I was afraid about this topic, no? What I'm trying to, I'm not trying to speak down to you, but I'm trying to go down to a very basic rudimentary level, because I really feel that it's great to have you, but I think our knowledge is pretty weak in catechism. That's why we want to start with the basics. Hopefully a catechist will be able to tell me, if for Araceli or Honora, one of you will be able to tell me, otherwise I'm going to go home in desolation. The catechists don't know where the Salmos Fritos. We're lost. There's a girl there that knows? I'll go about it another way. Okay, all of you have seen with Mom and Dad the film Il Gran Milagro, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What was the Gran Milagro? You saw the film, and your little brothers and sisters saw it probably too. A great movie. I saw it in Norwalk. I saw it in Norwalk and Anaheim in the public theater. I thought it was great. I've got the movie in my room in Spanish and English. I'm giving some of them away. It's a great movie. Okay, don't remember this. All of you want to be happy. It starts out with three very sad people. Remember, two widows. A widow means someone who lost her spouse. And there was a man whose son was dying of terminal cancer, the bus driver. Remember? They all end up where? In church. What happens in church, their guardian angels in church explain to them the Mass. Okay, remember when the priest lifts up the host? If you have a good memory, the host turns into the face of Jesus Christ. Remember that scene? The white host, you're looking, it looks like Jesus Christ. It's no longer the host, but it's Jesus Christ. That's Il Gran Milagro. That's a great miracle. And it's this. When I lift up the host today, the host turns into God. For me, it's very humbling because I'm not worthy. Why am I a priest? I'm not worthy. Are you kidding? I told my spiritual director, I can't become a priest. He said, you got the gifts, do it. Okay, obey. To be able to turn a piece of bread into God, me? That's the great miracle. So when I lift up the host today, that host is turned into God. then you receive communion, you become like God. Yes. Maybe you heard the expression, you become what you eat. Maybe you heard that, right? You have a good, healthy appetite, right? Okay, you know, it helps our physical health. You become what you eat. So in your spiritual life, you become what you eat. So the more you receive communion, the more you become like God. It's important. So you receive communion, you receive Jesus Christ, His body, blood, soul, and divinity. You have to receive them well. So when you receive Holy Communion, you have the mind of Christ. Incredible. You want to do well in school and get good grades? Receive communion because you have the mind of Christ. He was the most brilliant who ever lived. Try it. You'll have the memory of Christ. We all fail with our memory now and then. But you got the memory of Christ. You got the keen intellect of Christ. And you know, when you receive communion, you have a spiritual heart transplant. Yeah. True. Body. What's the most noble organ in the body is your heart, right? You have a heart transplant. So when I meet Catholics that don't love Mass, I fall into desolation. I really do. And maybe it's my fault. Maybe it's my fault. Pray for me. Because I love Mass. And I hope and pray that the catechists in this year will really help these kids to love Mass. Will you try catechists? Will you? Try to get them to love Mass. When we meet your parents, I mean, I'm the teacher of your parents with Father Dave. We're going to try to get your parents to love Mass more. And be thankful that you're a Catholic. Thank God. You could have been born a Jehovah Witness. You could have. You could have been born a Muslim in ISIS. You could have been. Hey. You could have been born a Mormon. You could have been born a son or daughter of an atheist. Do you know what an atheist is? An atheism? Right, okay. Man, you could have been born with a mom and dad. Maybe they're scientists. You know, they have a doctorate from Harvard or Princeton or Yale, okay? University of the Philippines, right? And this person is an atheist. But I think do your mom and dad believe in God? I was talking with your mom today. She believes in God. She comes to my class. Oh, all of you, I think all of your parents believe in God. Maybe they're not perfect Catholics, but they all believe in God. Thank God for that. So I'm going to be praying for you in the Mass because this is the cutting edge. When you're 18, you're an adult. Some of you, you're 3 or 4 years away. You're not far away. When you're 18, you're going to have to decide for yourself whether or not you're going to practice the Catholic faith or not live it. And I'm noticing with Father Larry, we do funerals. When I do a funeral, sometimes I see my students that were my students 20 years ago. So I've been here for more than 20 years. And they probably baptized most of you. And I notice that most of these students, they no longer go to church. And it breaks my heart. They'll come up and greet me and say, I haven't seen you in a while. You're going to go to confession? Yeah, Father, I haven't been to church for 8 years. Very common. And I'm asking myself, what the heck can we do? What the heck can we do? So I don't want it to happen and I see you in 10 years. Oh, Father Broom, you are my teacher. You preached. Are you going to church? No, I haven't gone to church in 8 years. Hope that's not going to be you. I hope not. Because when you're 18, you can choose. I'm one of 9 children. All of us left home at 18. We all did. Doctor, priest, soldier, we all left. The American family is a little bit different than the Latino, right? Okay. We all left at 18. Mostly to become professionals and become a priest. And basically we chose our life at 18. In a certain sense, you have to be choosing your life by your 18. The hope of your decision right now is that God is going to be the very center of your life. And you want to be happy. The only thing that really is going to make you happy is God. I was thinking about Christmas vacation. How many people, do you know the difference between joy and pleasure? Pleasure you can buy with money. How many people Christmas, they're eating, drinking, even getting drunk? Getting a lot of presents, but they ended the Christmas season sad and depressed. Eating and drinking and getting gifts, but they end Christmas season sad and depressed because they missed the reason for the season. The reason for the season of Christmas is not gifts. The reason for the season is Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem to save us. And the word Bethlehem means house of bread. That's what it means. House of bread. So I'm going to pray that maybe today you'll all discover your faith today in this Mass. The most important thing you can do in this life is to get to heaven. Take the airplane. The airplane is by going to Mass and receiving Holy Communion. That'll give you wings to fly right up to heaven. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life. And I will raise him up on the last day. You hear that? Fatima, did you hear that? What does it mean? Jesus is saying this. I'm the bread. Whoever receives Holy Communion with love, you're going to heaven. So if you're well disposed today, receive communion. But try to make the best communion in your life. We're just beginning a new year. I'm going to pray that this is going to be the best year in your life. Amen? This is going to be the best year in your life. I'm going to pray in the Mass with a lot of fervor. This is going to be the best year in your life. It is. And what that means is, the best year in your life means it's the year when you're going to be getting closer to God. That's what it means to have the best year in your life. The year in which you're getting closer to God. So recognize your two best friends are Jesus and Mary. Jesus loves you, and Mary loves you, but they want you to love them back. That's what Mass is loving God back. Amen? So let's pray that we have a real faith in this wonderful gift of Holy Mass. And you have a priest celebrating Mass for you. What a gift. Thank God for the gift of Holy Mass. The greatest gift in the world is Holy Communion. It's God loving us. Amen.